I'm just gonna pass around an image for everyone to take a look at. Just pass around the table and then to the next table. Just take a look at the image. And based on what we just read, I'm gonna tell you a little story about what's sort of happening in the image. This is a professional swimmer. He's been at the local level, national, global game. She's been to the Summer Olympics 3 times. She actually collapsed in the pool, wasn't able to breathe. Her muscles weren't able to function properly. Her coach had to jump in and save her. This was from the 2022 World Championships in Budapest. She's a USA Olympic diver in a synchronized swimming championship. Her name is Anita Alvarez. She actually sank to the bottom of the pool. Looking across the deck, her coach noticed that she was under the water for way too long. So Andrea, her coach, immediately dove in, fully clothed, pulling her to safety. Anita was unconscious and didn't have the capacity to kick. She didn't have the capacity to paddle or help herself in any way. Luckily, Andrea saw what was happening and was able to intervene. If Andrea was not able to have noticed, it's very possible that Anita could have drowned. So she looked for her quickly. She noticed her, that she was under too long, and dove in without really thinking twice about that. So trying to build some continuity between what we just spoke about in the passage and with this story. just think about experiences where people might have both saved you spiritually, mentally, and then also think about people that you might have saved. And we can just go around one by one. I'll share some stories as well about my own experience, but I'm curious, what comes to mind? Who is someone that you've both saved and someone that saved you in those particular instances?
Yeah. I was drowning in Mexico, in Acapulco, and I was just walking along the shore, and the undertow pulled me in, and I was drowning, and I'm a strong swimmer.
Yeah.
But a native Mexican child, yep, like about 12 years old, knew the waters, and he was able to pull me out of the water.
Okay. Thank you for sharing. Yeah.
My mind also just immediately goes to the water, and I was, I think, 8 years old or 7 on the Jersey Shore, and was just kind of very unaware that I was being pulled up by a current, and a lifeguard with the red buoy thingy and the red trunks came out and was just like, little man, do you know you were being pulled away? And I did,
yeah.
And I think I'm kind of glad that I did, because I was just going somewhere. And I'm also, I don't know who I've saved, but I'm thinking of, anyone saw that Mexican movie, Roma, that really shot of the housemaid figure going into the water, bringing the children out, just always comes as a friend.
Yeah, no, thank you, sure. Anyone else? I think really the goal of this is to think about when you were under too long, metaphorically speaking. Who are those people that will look out for you, right? Who's noticing when you're drowning? Who's going to dive in to pull you up when you are having bouts of depression, or you feel like things are not going your way? Is it Jesus? Is it your friends? Is it your family? Is it someone that you just started building a connection with at St. Lydia's? Who's pulling you up to the surface when you lose your strength? And who are the people that will do that for you? I think both of those questions are equally important. Are they someone that both count on, and are you someone that they can count on, right? Do you have the capacity to be that person in their lives as well? So, yeah, just curious if anyone has had some experiences along those lines. For me, I spent some time teaching computer science in Gaza, 2018, to some high school students in a pretty not-so-safe environment in the world. And I actually found that the students were the ones that were saving me. They had more tolerance and mental strength than I did to get through what was happening on the ground there. It really gave me a sense of like presence, staying grounded, putting one foot forward after the next, and not being so focused on the outside circumstances, but focusing more on the curriculum. So it doesn't necessarily have to be anything related to water. But yeah, just take a moment to really think about those two questions, and then we'll share again.
Since I was like 15, I had played in bands and music, and I thought I wanted to be a musician. And then when I was like 31 or 2, got into a band and we started playing a lot. And the stage fright was overwhelming. And I was physically shaking a lot of the time, and I couldn't sleep. Finally called up one of my old priests, a friend of mine, and said, you know, I'm wondering, maybe I should just become a writer. You know, I was up last night thinking about this and thinking maybe I should just forget about music and become a writer. And he said, number one, beware of decisions you make in the middle of the night. And he said, and number two, could be a writer, but music is where your heart has always been. And I thought that was such a interesting way of framing it for me, that just really anchored me in. And yeah, I really, and it's correct. My heart is, and I'm just really scared. I had to figure it out, but I was really glad he talked me out of bail. So it turned out good. It turned out well.
Absolutely. You just got off the tour. Thank you.
Teachers who would take extra time to try to explain the lesson, or my parents who were trying to help me get through this one day at a time, and you felt like you couldn't possibly make this last any longer, and how could I, you know, this is the worst it gets, and how can I get through this? And my grandmother, who would take one day a week to help me with my homework. And I think you sort of forget, it's very easy to live in the moment, and then you forget that. What's that line? This too shall pass. And you look back 20, 30 years later, and you forget how hard it was. It's like I do remember that intense feeling of the kids have. What I'm dealing with right now is the worst thing that anyone could possibly ever dealt with. And no one has experienced shame and humiliation or frustration like me. And I guess one of the things about getting older is you sort of realize that you have a little more experience, and you can use your realizing
that
you can get through this.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing. Are there any folks in our current lives that are out of fight or out of fuel to swim in turbulent waters that we call life, that you were personally involved in, or that you've just noticed within your own circles?
So something that comes to mind is how so many of us had to like be like a saving force or a supportive force for each other was in like the early, like maybe the first holiday season of COVID, like kind of Christmas, Thanksgiving 2020 was really challenging. And I feel like we were all super fried. Some communities more than others, but like I remember my family and some close friends had were kind of attempting like a ramshackle like safety bubble with some of us coming in from out of town and everybody promising like, okay, it's only going to be these people that I like share air with and we're going to quarantine beforehand and we're going to do this and that, and like stuff comes up and people drop out of the bubble and you know emergencies happen and the plans change. But I saw so many people like be selfless that time, like in that year, and like put their own desires like on the side so that they could protect the people that they loved. And it almost felt like a time when like new bonds and like new chosen family kind of came together because, you know, we were like doing that for each other. So that's kind of what comes to mind.
Did you notice when that defense mechanism went up or when it dropped?
Oh man. It was probably different for every like person.
Yeah.
But what am I not giving you though? ask me again. I feel like you're like asking a really good question. I'm not quite getting it.
I mean, I think it's like part of this is like it's like dual accountability to be like a spiritual prayer warrior for people that are in your lives.
Yeah.
So like, how difficult was it for you to be vulnerable at first?
Yeah.
How easy was it for those walls to go back up or down?
Dude, that's the question.
Yeah.
That's the question. I think I found it was easier for those of us who were like already trying to practice like living in community, and for those people in my family who had become more isolated anyway before COVID due to whatever reason, it was like really hard for them to try to go back to living in community. So it was like, oh, but I'm so used to just making every decision based on my own self. That might be straying from the point a little bit.
Yeah.
But
yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
This is my first time ever preaching.
So woo woo!
But yeah, I think biggest takeaways are who is coming in to save you, and more importantly, who are you coming in to save when you notice that they're under. So take that in whichever direction you'd like next week. Thank you for
having me.
I just want to say one thing that you mentioned, like teaching in Gaza, how an act of teaching and sort of like ministering to other people ended up feeling like they were ministering to you. And since you said that like 10 minutes ago, I've been thinking about like 5 or 6 different places in my life where this very dynamic shows up. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to walk away thinking about that.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, of course. Now I'm curious.
My brother was dying of cancer, and I needed an anchor, and the anchor was just the act of taking care of him. And it looked like I was doing something for somebody else, but it was actually also sort of also teaching. I don't think my students realize how much I want them to come to me for help,
right?
Because I actually, that's part of what it is for me.
Absolutely. It's hard enough to teach in a normal classroom setting, all the other exterior things around, right? So for them to be able to say, you know, ground yourself, be present, focus on us and not what's going on out there, like really gave me a sense of calmness. And I think it made it left like a lasting impression on that. Like in the grand scheme of things, I had very few things to be ungrateful for, and I think they have a deeper sense of resilience than a lot of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So,
thank you,
Brad. Thank you, Brad.